Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, Week 19 recap is here. We'll talk all about it. Guys, I have a bombshell injury report to give you, so we'll have that face of the league talk. We're still talking about that stuff, so we'll get into that. Steph goes nuclear. We'll talk about that also. KD on Draymond Green's podcast. We'll tell you some of the stuff he said. Some injury news, and also Embiid shut down for the season. We'll talk about that also. So all that and more, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are in week 20, which means week 19 is in the books. So we'll talk about everything that transpired and actually some breaking news that just came down the pike. So all that and more, folks. So just stick and stay, as I always say. And we're going to start, guys, as we always do on this show, with our players of the week. In the West, Zach LaVine, guys, for the Sacramento Kings. Remember, Zach LaVine came over in that trade deadline deal in which he goes over to Sacramento coming from Chicago. But he gets player of the week, guys. Here's what he does. 28 points per game, nearly 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Shot it sensational from the field, which is a pretty amazing thing for him. Over 62% from the field, nearly 64% from 3. Wow. Ooh, man. And he only went to the free throw line 6 times in the 3 games they played, and he made 4. So there's that. His team went 3-0 for the week, beating Charlotte at home, where he scored 42 points, by the way, guys, and dropped 8 threes in that game. Wow. And then road wins at Utah and at Houston. So Zach LaVine making his presence known out there in Sacramento. So he gets player of the week for the Western Conference. In the East, Captain Clutch himself, Jalen Brunson, guys, for the New York Knicks. And they had a 3-0 week, guys. They beat Philly at home, and then they went on the road to beat Memphis, a game that I'll talk about, and also Miami in overtime, guys. They were down by 19 in that game and came back and won that. So fantastic week for the Knicks and a great week for the captain. Over 29 points per game, over 6 assists. Guys, he's having a career year in assists and 5 rebounds. Shot it above 47.5% from the field, over 63% from 3. And then out of his 21 free throws, he made 18. So Jalen Brunson doing Jalen Brunson things at this point, being the all-star that he is, being the all-NBA player that he's been all season long. So Jalen Brunson, your player of the week in the East. All right, guys. So with that said, let us move on. Top stories. I had one story, but I'm going to have to push that down because of the news that just came down. Kyrie Irving out for the season, guys, with a torn ACL. It is unfortunate, guys. It happened in the first quarter of a March 3rd game, which was a loss. And ironically enough, it was against Sacramento Kings. I just was talking about the Sacramento Kings, Zach LaVine. But he goes out. He actually gets fouled and goes to the free throw line with that injured knee, and he goes to sink his free throws. But the knee, no bueno, guys. So he is now out for the season with a torn ACL. And being that it's so late in the season, you know, March and everything, your normal recovery time takes, these days it takes about 10 months. It all depends. So you're looking at him not being available for the start of the season for the 2025-26 season, guys. That's how severe it is. And here's what he did for the season thus far. He played in 50 of the 62 games. Guys, he was averaging over 36 minutes a game. And, you know, given his injury history, it's kind of a bit much, but that's what it is, guys. Nearly 25 points per game, nearly 5 rebounds, over 4.5 assists for him, and well over a steal per game. Shot it from the field over 47%, over 40% from three, which you love that, and over 91.5% from the free throw line, so he was pretty much automatic there. And then, guys, you know he made the All-Star team, so there's that. But Kyrie Irving out for the season. And I actually want to read for you something that Rachel Nichols, longtime NBA kind of insider, you know, she actually hosted the ESPN in studio show for the NBA for many years. But this is what she had to say, guys, in that regard. She wrote this on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. This is what she said. Kyrie tearing his ACL wasn't inevitable, but it wasn't unimaginable either. Trading away a generational talent in his 20s for a 31-year-old with a significant injury history, then driving your 32-year-old star into the ground by playing him more minutes than anyone else in the league for nearly 6 weeks straight, despite his own injury history, remains extremely confusing. So Rachel Nichols kind of questioning Dallas and the coaching staff, the management, those sort of things. So does she have a legitimate beef here? Yeah, from the outside looking in, look like she has just cause. I mean, they did trade Luka. We all know about the Luka trade. It was a surprise to many of us. And did it for Anthony Davis, who on his first night as a Dallas Maverick, he injures himself. So you try and hold on until he gets back. And in doing so, you end up overplaying Kyrie. So, and actually, because I was just listening to the first take, Kendrick Perkins actually said, this was before he found out the severity of the injury, that they should just shut Kyrie down because AD's not ready yet. So just, you know, take a knee on the season. And remember, people were saying that, people like Stephen A. and others were saying that Dallas Mavericks could be a flying ointment come playoff time. But right now, they're in the 10th spot as far as the playoffs goes. They're 5 games under 500. So, you know, it's a tough situation there. But now reports are saying they may just shut Anthony Davis down as well and just take a knee on the season. You know, it's like less than 20 games left, so they may just do that. But terrible, terrible news for the Dallas faithful, who are already irate losing Luka. Now you add this on top of the Anthony Davis stuff, and you know you gotta watch the legends on the high rises over there, hoping that none of that Dallas faithful are, you know, standing on the ledge ready to take their life, for crying out loud. But yeah, it's a dire situation over there in Dallas. So yeah, hey, at this point, shut everything down. Shut everything down at this point, because, you know, and you hope it's not a case of what happened to the Boston Red Sox back in the early 1900s with the curse of the Bambino, where it took them over 100 years to shake off that curse. But yeah, so bad, not good all the way around, but we'll see what happens. Of course, we wish Kyrie a speedy recovery and, you know, just be methodical and do what you need to do to get yourself back on the court. You know, be as cautious as possible and all those things. But speedy recovery for you, Kyrie. So there's that bit of news, guys. Moving on, Steph Curry. Steph Curry reaches into the Wayback Machine and drops 56 points, guys, in a February 27th road win versus the Orlando Magic. I mean, he was absolutely on fire. He hit 12 threes in that game. Good gracious. So this was vintage Steph. And guys, his team gets the win. So Steph Curry and Golden State as a whole playing very well. Ever since the Jimmy Butler trade, they've been playing very well. You know, even so much so, Draymond Green is sticking out his chest, thinking they're going to make it to the finals and all those sort of things. So, but Steph Curry, the kid, he's balling right now. So he's supposed to play my Knicks this week. So we'll see what happens if he ends up playing at the Garden. So, you know, he likes to show out. But Steph Curry goes absolutely crazy and drops 56 points. Also in that game, Paolo Banchero, who's been playing well, 41 points in that game for him, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And Franz Wagner playing well ever since he came back from injury, 27 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. And then Draymond Green gets your double-double with 12 points, 10 rebounds. He had a good all-around game, too, in that one. So, but Steph Curry doing Steph Curry things. So there you go. All right, guys, let us move on. Face of the League talk. That has been kicking up as of late. Now, let us set the stage. Oh, by the way, just as a reminder, folks, this show, we rely on your support. Your support goes a long way for this show. Down in the scroll, you'll see all my information as far as donating and all those things, whether it be Cash App, whether it be PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify. On my website, you can find a lot of the buttons there. Cash App, $GD, that's sports too. So there's the plug there. All right, so as I was saying, face of the league. Let me get you caught up. It all started around All-Star weekend where Anthony Edwards was asked, is he the face of the league? And he said, no, I'm not. Look at Wimby. So, which, of course, you know, wouldn't say it rubbed people the wrong way, but guys like Stephen A. Smith was disappointed and said it's unfortunate, you know, that he would not want and desire that for himself. So there you have that. And then on First Take, they had a topic during the past week. Who would you rather start a franchise with, Anthony Edwards or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Of course, Stephen A. said Anthony Edwards because, you know, he's marketable and all these things. You know, that's his angle. So there you go. And Jason Tatum actually took exception to that. And he was talking to someone from the Washington Post. And he was asked, not sure of the question he was asked, but he took exception to being left out of the equation. You know, he's same age as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as accomplished as him, if not more so, because he has the NBA title now. So he took exception to him being left out of that equation. Then that led to people starting to talk about it on The Odd Couple. Kelvin Washington, who's the sidekick now with Rob Parker, he said that Jason Tatum is too much like Tim Duncan to be the face of the league, which leads me to say, why is it such a bad thing to be Tim Duncan? Tim Duncan is a top 10 player in this league's history. He is. Look at his numbers. Look at all the championships he's won and what he's done at that position. So I would take it as a compliment if Jason Tatum heard that. But to say he can't be the face of the league because he's too much like Tim Duncan. See, the whole problem is, and I heard Brandon Jennings say this about him. They call him soft. They call him corny. You know, even when he won the championship, they said, oh, you know, all the lines he said wasn't original and whatnot. Here is a guy who comes, he plays his game, and he goes home. He's not flashy. He's not, you know, out here rah-rah, you know, calling attention to himself. He brings his lunch pail. He plays his game. He goes home. He has his son, you know, and he does his thing. He has the accolades, guys. He's been an all-NBA player at least three times, guys. First team, in fact. Been to the All-Star game six times already. An NBA champion. What more can you ask from the kid? But you'll have some that say, oh, he's not even the best player on his team. They'll talk about Jaylen Brown and all this and that. But make no mistake, Jason Tatum is that guy for the Boston Celtics. He just is. And, you know, there'll even be guys that say, he's not even a top 10 player all time for the Boston Celtics. I think it's too early to call that, but, you know. What do I know? But so all these different things. But again, Jason Tatum took exception to it. So that's why I'm reporting on it. So I think he has a just cause in saying that. So, and then LeBron, he empathized with Anthony Edwards and he agreed with Channing Frye. Remember last week I talked about Channing Frye and what he said about the pressures of being the face of the league. So I'm going to play for you guys the sound that's been reverberating around the world, it seems. The sound that LeBron said. This was after, like, in the locker room after the game. Here's what he said, guys. Take a listen.
When all the people that, you know, that come to our game, talk about our game, everybody celebrates these new people. So why would anybody want to be the face of this league? You're going to get promoted on every network for not being somebody for 40 years ago.
I can't say you don't want it. I mean, I'm excited to ask for it. But I know the responsibility for me, not only to my family, my friends, my community, and whoever that was going to follow my journey throughout my career, not only in Ohio when I started there, but all over America and all over the world when I traveled all over the world. So I've always taken that seriously and understood from the beginning what being a professional and people is all about and being a role model is all about. So why do you want to be the face of the league?
So that's what LeBron had to say. A little bit of revisionist history by LeBron, saying that he didn't actually be the face of the league. LeBron, I got to even call you out on that. You don't wear the number 23. You don't get tattooed the chosen one and not desire that. So there's that. But I digress. But, of course, Stephen A. Smith got all up in his feelings about it, saying how, the LeBron is in the wrong for saying that. And, you know, he talked about, LeBron being the face and all that. And actually you had folks on there that agreed. Gilbert Arenas agreed with what about the chatter about the face of the league. Shanae Awomake, who does a fantastic job, guys. She also agreed about the pressures of it. And she says, she talked about it from an entertainment standpoint and from an analysis standpoint. Says a lot of entertainment talk, not a lot of analysis talk. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. You're not getting the deep analysis as far as the game goes. You're not getting the other stories that's happening. You rally around LeBron stories. You rally around Steph stories. You rally around, Lakers as a whole, those stories. We're not hearing about the Houston Rockets of the league. We're not hearing about the Memphis Grizzlies of the league. We're barely hearing about the Cleveland Cavaliers. You have to talk about them because their record is what their record is. We're talking about OKC a bit. Yeah, but we're more so downplaying them being able to, reach the finals and all those things, although they have the gaudy record. So, and then Wemby, he was on the fence. He was part in the camp of the pressures of the being the face of the league, but he was also kind of taking LeBron a little bit to task. So, I just have a few questions. You know how I do. First, doubling back to what Anthony Edwards says when he said Wemby will probably be the face of the league. Can a foreign-born player be the face of the league? I see people automatically dismiss that. I've seen plenty of people in the media just dismiss it like, no, it's not possible. And you're going to sit here and tell me that Nikolai Jokic, with what he has done, with the resume he's accumulated thus far, he's not the face of the league? That's insane talk to me. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're trying to tell me he's not the face of the league with what he's accomplished? That's crazy talk to me. But you have, and I'll just say, as Americans, we got this pride to us. We do. And for our sport, the sport of basketball created here, for the face of the league to be someone not born here, it's almost as if it's an insult. But I don't think it is. If David Stern has made this a global league, let us be absolutely crystal clear about it. He's made this a global league. With that comes the pressures of U.S.-born players to step up and you know, be in competition with these foreign-born players. So, which, you know, it doubles back to the All-Star game fiasco, you know, how players aren't taking it serious, you know. So you have that, and you saw a guy like Wemby get upset at the end of the game. So, and ideas now bandied about USA versus the world type of thing, maybe a four-nation sort of thing. Maybe they take an idea from the NHL. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that in that regard. But to answer that question, I think a player can be foreign-born and be the face of the league. And it's okay. It's fine. That all that means that the players from here have to step up their game. And then I heard the same person, Kelvin Washington, say that it won't be a foreign-born player. It will be Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg, who's still in college, by the way. We don't know what he's going to do, how he's going to transition to the NBA. We don't know that. So, I think that's a bit of a stretch. Let's see the kid play in the league first before we start crowning him the future face of the league, for crying out loud. I told you something maybe, in fact, I told you something last year that I think with the influx now of these former players, their children now starting to play ball, you know, like Carmelo Anthony's son, Keon. You got him. You got the twins of both Carlos Boozer and also Matt Barnes, his twins. Many others I can name, but I think some of those kids, if they're to go through the process, you know, college, pros, and mold their games, I think one of those kids could be a future face of the league. I'm just saying. But I think that's where American basketball can be saved. But that's years down the pike, so we deal with that when it comes. But, yeah, so nonetheless, the face of the league, we're still talking about that issue. I say it has to be organic. It can't be something where, oh, we're going to name this one. It's a person going out on the court and proving it. I think that's where it lies. So I'll just leave it there. All right, so enough chatter about that. Let's move on. Kevin Durant, he went on Draymond Green's podcast. And he talked about his situation in Phoenix. He said he didn't want to leave Phoenix mid-season at the trade deadline. He didn't want to do that, have to pack up and go wherever he's going. He didn't want to do that. Then he said about Golden State, he did not refuse a trade there because of the medical staff. Remember, he had the whole beef with the medical staff where they sent him out there in the finals and he re-injured his knee. So it wasn't about that. It wasn't about past beefs he had with the organization, with folks within the organization. So it wasn't that. So he kind of cleared the air with that. He agreed with Draymond's notion about 2015 through 19 being the best era of NBA basketball, which I'm not going to delve too much in that. That's Draymond's opinion because he was in the finals every year. So, of course, he's going to have that opinion. So that's something I'm not going to beat to death. But there was talk about Kevin Durant's legacy. So we'll just run through it right quick. He started at OKC. He had the opportunity to stay with a contract extension, what have you. He didn't do that. He explored free agency. He went to Golden State, as we know. And at the time, Stephen A. Smith called it the weakest move in NBA history because he said it was basically because he made the NBA boring because we knew Golden State would win every single year. To which guys like Brian Windhorst kind of fought him on that, saying that it wasn't that fait accompli that you're making it out to be. There were some competitive teams, including the San Antonio Spurs at the time, and of course Cleveland, of course, and other clubs as well. So it wasn't the layup that he was making it out to be. So there's that. And then also this, after he left there and on the grounds that he was leaving, he goes to Brooklyn, joins Kyrie Irving, and that situation is a fiasco as far as that goes. So, and then, you know, they always say, oh, he was just a shoe size smaller, he would have went to the finals and all kind of. I'm like, I always poo-poo that notion because Kevin Durant is a smart basketball player. He knows when his foot is on the line and off the line. So that was on him. The fact that he was on the line, that's on him. So to say, oh, if his foot size was a bit smaller, they'd be in the finals. I'm like, you can't even do that. So I'm just saying. So, and then the whole situation after that, you know, with COVID coming and all the things that Kyrie did there, and then Harden not being happy with the situation there. And then eventually, of course, Kyrie gets traded. Then Kevin Durant requests a trade. Then he goes to Phoenix, where he wanted to go, by the way. Remember, he wanted to go there. So he's there. Devin Booker's there. You bring in a Bradley Beal, and you still don't get the results that you want. So now Phoenix says, we need to get out of the Kevin Durant business at the trade deadline, and which they tried to ship him to Miami. He refused. So now he stays in Phoenix, where they're not playing well, guys. They're not playing well. So they're out on the outside looking in. Now, what I will say is if they can kind of drum up something in the last 20 or so games, maybe they can get into that play-in now that Dallas pretty much might have packed up their 10. So they might have a shot at getting the play-in. And then from there, you know, all bets are off. You see what happens. But there's a way for him to salvage things there, but we'll see. But nonetheless, so that's pretty much his legacy as a whole. Where he goes from here, who knows? I'll leave that discussion for another day. But Kevin Durant, that's what he had to say on that podcast. We'll leave it. All right, guys, so let us move on. Joel Embiid shut down for the season, guys. Now, you heard me talk about it. I talked about it 2 weeks ago, guys, when I was talking about Hubie Brown's last game. I spoke about Joel Embiid, what I heard on the broadcast that I brought to you guys, the fact that they were mulling around the idea. It took them 2 weeks later to realize we need to shut him down because of ongoing issues with his left knee. So just shut them down for the season, guys. So something they should have just did to begin with. You saw the season spiraling out of control. You had Paul George. Now we come to find out he was dealing with an injury, so he hasn't been 100% himself. Oh, by the way, has shut down his podcast P, his show there until the season's over. So there's that. And then you putting this burden, like I said 2 weeks ago, you putting this burden on the kid, Tyrese Maxey, which isn't fair to him. So, and now you're seeing him get nicked up and all these sort of things. So I'm almost of the opinion with 20 games left, shut everybody down. Shut down Paul George, because you're going to have him for the long haul. Tyrese Maxey, he sustained an injury his last game. We'll see how serious that is. But if that's the case, shut him down too. And just take a knee on the season. That's it. You know? So, yeah. So, Joel Embiid, shut down, guys. And then, ironically enough, my next item of news, on the same day is when Mitchell Robinson is making his debut for the New York Knicks. His first game in 10 months, guys. And remember how we last saw him in the playoffs there. In fact, it was Joel Embiid who rolled on his ankles, or he put all his heavy weight on Mitchell Robinson's ankles. So, sweet irony, guys, for him to be shut down and then Mitchell Robinson to be making his debut. So, you can't make it up, guys. So, Mitchell Robinson is back. He plays his first game, a win on the road at Memphis. In that game, he played 12 minutes, 6 points, 5 rebounds, flashes of his old self. And he even played it down the stretch of that game and had a key rebound in the final seconds of that game that sealed the win for the Knicks. So I tell you what, guys, if Tom Thibodeau, he needs to manage his minutes, not throw him in the deep end of the pool just yet. Just manage his minutes for now. He got 20 some odd games left in the season. Just be easy with his minutes. On back-to-backs, you know, you'll just let him sit the back-to-backs and just see what happens. But this team looks a lot different in the two games, because the 2 days later, they faced Miami in Miami, came back and won that game. They're playing defense a lot differently in these two games, guys. I've seen it. And you even got OG being like his old self on defense. So I think having him back is a defensive boost for this team. And a lot was said about them. You know, they had the game where they had to win it 149 to 148. So there's that. But I think the days of that kind of scoring in a game, I think that may be minimal with the presence of a Robinson who can lock down on defense, OG Anunoby who can lock down on defense, Mikal Bridges, at least he could do that because he's been erratic on offense. So I think Mitchell Robinson gives him a different look on defense, and that's going to help the Knicks for the long term. So I'll just say that. And then Kendrick Perkins, we'll talk about him again. He actually suggested that Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, you know, they have the podcast roommates, that they shut that down until season's end. I'm like, I think you're reaching there. This team is 20 games over 500, and you worry about their podcasts, they're locked in, guys. So, Kendrick, they're locked in. They're fine. So they can do their little podcast. It's not like they're sitting there like I am doing, editing and doing all the sort of stuff and putting it out there. They have a staff to do that. All they got to do is crack the mic open and talk. That's it. So there's that. So that's that bit of business. Let us move on. Injuries, guys. So we have more injury news to talk about. How about Jalen Suggs for the Orlando Magic? He's out for the season, guys. He's out now. He underwent successful knee surgery, arthroscopic knee surgery. So he had missed 15 games. Now he's going to miss the rest of the season. So Orlando Magic doing the prudent thing with Jalen Suggs, who was having a fine year, but you got to err on the side of caution. So they're doing the absolute right thing. You got a guy like Cole Anthony. He's there. You got Anthony Black as well. So they'll be okay. They'll be fine. You know, it's not the same as when they had their season last season, but, you know, there's, as long as Jamal Mosley is at the helm, this team won't be a tough out. This team will be a tough out, rather. So definitely well wishes for Jalen Suggs. Let us move on. Nikolaj Jovic for the Miami Heat. He's going to be out 4 weeks, guys, with a broken hand. And he suffered that on February 23rd in a loss at Milwaukee. So the young forward, he was going to have all the minutes he could handle now that Jimmy Butler has gone west. So tough break for the kid. Hopefully he'll be back. A four-week timetable will put him. Maybe they'll shut him down for the season. Who knows? I think it depends on where Miami is as far as the pecking order. So, of course, speedy recovery for him. Austin Reaves suffers a calf injury. That's on February 28th in a win versus the LA Clippers. It happened in the first quarter, guys. Diagnosis to be announced, but he has missed one game thus far. We'll see what happens with that. Definitely a tough break. They need Austin Reaves, the Lakers do. And then Domantas Sabonis going to be out at least a week, guys, with a hamstring injury. And he did that in the first minute of a March 1st win at Houston. So Domantas Sabonis, their valuable big man, he's going to be lost for a week. So we'll see how the Kings respond there. And then Norman Powell of the LA Clippers, he returns to the lineup after missing five games with a knee injury. And he does it on March 2nd in a loss to the Lakers, only to hurt his hamstring in the first quarter of that game. So now he's out and diagnosis to be announced. So we have to wait on that as well. So we'll see what happens, guys. So, all right. So that's it for that. Let us move on. Top performances, guys. You got a few here from Nikolaj Jokic, who had a fantastic week. He had a near triple-double on February 24th, but he did have 19 assists in that game. Wow. And that was in a road win at the Indiana Pacers, guys. 18 points, 19 assists, and 9 rebounds, along with 4 steals for him. And then also in that game, Aaron Gordon, 25 points, 5 rebounds. And on the losing side, Tyrese Haliburton, 19 points and 15 assists. Quentin Grimes, guys. Quentin Grimes. Now, I've talked about him when he was a Knick. He's a kid who just needed an opportunity. And, guys, he's getting it in spades now as far as the 76ers go, because right now you need scoring. You need some kind of scoring over there. He drops 44 points in a game, guys, of which he hits 5 threes, along with 6 rebounds in a March 1st win against the Golden State. Well, how ironic it is that this happened against Golden State, because I've envisioned him as another Klay Thompson-type player, a two-way player who could light it up, smooth. He's a killer from deep. So Quentin Grimes, maybe he's found a home and over there with the Sixers. We'll see what happens. But Quentin Grimes, man, he gets it in. And then the loss, Steph Curry, 29 points. He hits 5 threes in that game, along with 13 assists, 5 rebounds. And then Tyrese Maxey in this game, only 5 points, 2 of 14 from the field. Ooh, that's what I'm saying, guys. He's carrying so much of a load. He did have 11 assists and 2 steals in the game, but there you go. Also for the week, let's see here. Zion Williamson, he's been playing well, guys. Zion Williamson has been playing well since he's been healthy. He gets his first triple-double of his career, guys. 27 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, and a February 27th win at the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Suns is reeling. But Zion Williamson, he's been playing well, guys, which has left a lot of people to wonder, will he be around for the future of that team? But he has a nice game here. Also in that game, on the losing side, Devin Booker, he does his thing, 36 points, of which he hits 6 threes, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, and then KD, 28 points and 5 rebounds. Let us move on. Shaedon Sharpe of the Portland Trailblazers. He has a career-high 36 points, and he has what many are saying the dunk of the year, where he dunks it over Justin Champagne of the Washington Wizards. And I saw that dunk. Nasty. Ooh, nasty. So he does this on February 26th in a win at the Washington Wizards. Shaedon Sharpe, he's one of those building blocks over there for the Portland Trailblazers. So, young kid, he's showing his mettle over there. On the losing side, Jordan Poole, 24 points, 5 rebounds. Couple of good games for the week for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He has 39 points along with 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and a overtime win on February 24th. And that win was, that was a loss against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Minnesota Timberwolves were down by as much as 25, guys. I watched this game, and I couldn't believe what was happening in that fourth quarter. But Minnesota gets the win in a raucous Oklahoma City crowd there to get the win. Jaden McDaniels, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Naz Reid, 22 points, 11 rebounds. Anthony Edwards didn't play all that great. He did have 17 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, though. And he had a key block at the end that sealed the win for the Timberwolves. And speaking of Anthony Edwards, 44 points he drops on March 2nd in a win at the Phoenix Suns. A lot of people beating up on the Suns. So he gets 44 points along with 6 threes, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. And then on the losing side, KD, you know, he puts up his numbers. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks for him. And then speaking of Oklahoma City Thunder, Jalen Williams, who's having an all-star campaign, 41 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and a March 2nd win. And that's at the San Antonio Spurs. SGA in that game, 31 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. And on the losing side off the bench, Stephon Castle, 32 points and 8 rebounds in that game. And Luka Doncic, he has his first triple-double with the Lakers, guys. And he does it against the Dallas Mavericks. So that was a huge game, a game I watched, guys. That was on February 25th. He scored 19 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists, and he even threw in three steals in that game for the win. LeBron with a double-double, 27 points, 12 rebounds, and then Kyrie Irving, we've lost him for the season now, but in that game, 35 points, of which he hits five threes, seven rebounds, four assists for him. And, oh, by the way, Luka will be going back to Dallas April 9th, guys. So circle that on your calendar, April 9th. And I'll tell you right now, guys, it's not going to be pretty, especially with the news that has come down about Kyrie, the possible news about AD being possibly shut down. So I could almost predict he may get 50 points going back to Dallas. If that's the case, we'll see what happens. But Luka gets his first triple-double with the Los Angeles Lakers. So, all right, so we'll just leave it there, guys. There was other performances as well, but we'll just keep it concise and leave it there. All right, guys, GD's Big Five, and then we're out of here. All right, we'll start with number one team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the first 50-win team at 50-10. Cleveland Cavaliers, what more can we say about them? Second, OKC, 49 wins and 11 losses. The Boston Celtics, third, 43 wins, 18 losses. And then the New York Knicks, 40-20, guys. Looking well, 22 more games to go for them. See if they can crack the 50-win mark this season. And then fifth, guys, a new team has entered the top five. The Los Angeles Lakers, guys, 38-21. So right now the Lakers are a hot team in the West, guys. So can they withstand this? Can they keep this up? We'll see. But, you know, a lot of people before the trade deadline were sour on J.J. Redick. But you got to give this man his credit. You got to give him his credit. He has the Lakers playing well right now. And given the lack of size and all those things, they're playing well. The Luka-LeBron combination has been money thus far. And you're getting contributions from others, guys like Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves. So I tell you what, the Lakers could be dangerous. They could be dangerous in the playoffs. Again, my concern is the lack of size, but we'll see what happens. So, all right, guys, so that's it for me. Thank you for listening. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can find me in all my glory there. All the episodes are there. My shorts as well. My support buttons, I told you about those. Buy me a coffee, Spotify button, PayPal button. Support the show, guys. Support the show and what we do here. I bring this fresh content to you, so help your boy out. Also, podcast platforms, I'm on all of those. Apple, you can leave reviews. YouTube, I'm there. My shorts are there. My full videos are there. Watch those. Like those. You know what to do. And then as far as socials, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky. Not so much Facebook. Definitely not Twitter. And fan base, it's a work in progress. We'll just leave it at that. All right, guys. I thank you for listening as always. I know I owe you that player spotlight on Diana Taurasi and her illustrious career. I want to give you that before season's done. Guys, we're coming close on March Madness in the men's and the women's. I haven't really talked college basketball as of late. I want to try and talk about that I know right now you got tournaments that's coming up, tournaments for different leagues and so forth before the actual big tournament. So you have those coming down the pike, but this is an exciting time of year, guys. So buckle up for some great basketball. All right, guys. I thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.